morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I'd like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Dodged Black Friday.
You got some good turkey in, I hope.
Lots of tryptophan.
And lots of tryptophan. Absolutely. Well, glad to be back here and going over some things. Of course, on top of John being here, we always like to have Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua, our in-house lending expert. Tom, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm a little bit full. I've been trying to spend a little time in the gym to wear off that Thanksgiving festivities.
But it's tough this time of year.
You know, we're on our home stretch to Christmas. In the end of the year.
Absolutely. And I got to say, for the listeners, too, I had not been in to see how you kind of had rearranged your office a little bit there. And so I swung in and looked at everything earlier this week. And I like the new setup and how you have everything arranged there.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, Kylie and Allison, my assistants, work right outside the door there. So it's nice to be able to just yell out the door if we're needing something. And all the processing team is here locally here in town, and
I can understand needing to hit the gym, because walking back to your office, I went by an entire counter length of stuff.
Oh yeah,
it looked like you had a good little spread at the office, also.
Yeah, we had a little Thanksgiving, our annual Thanksgiving lunch with the office, so it's a little potluck. I make the turkey in the Ninja Crock-Pot, by the way. Where if you thought you had to spend 6 hours cooking turkey, you can do it in a Ninja Crock-Pot in 60 minutes.
That is awesome,
a
Tom.
Ninja crock pot.
It's amazing. It's like a stovetop, oven, and a crock pot all in one.
I love it. Cooking tips from our in-house lender, Mr. Tom Coyne.
11-pound turkey in 60 minutes.
Fantastic. Well, we always like to start off, before we jump into the show with our local topic, we always like to get our crazy real estate property. And this one, we're back into quite a property in New York. But what's interesting is sometimes you see prices go up, but this one was a shocker. So 5 years ago, there was a 7-level townhome that had sold off of Fifth Avenue for $19.6 million 5 years ago. Yeah. That thing recently re-hit the market at $77 million.
Oh my.
And so there's remodels and then there's maybe this isn't going to sell craziness. And I know that market, you know, has gone up a lot, but still, they went through and took that thing back to the studs, totally rebuilt it. That is a 13,000 square foot townhouse, 7 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms. It's got a swimming pool downstairs. I mean, this place was absolutely nuts. However, one of the things the article was kind of focusing on was it might be too much. I mean, because you got to think $77 million to $20 million. I highly doubt that they spent $50 million on the remodel.
You know, we talk about like target markets and how many buyers are in each segment. I can't imagine there's a whole lot of people shopping for $77 million houses.
No, it was absolutely hilarious. Actually, there was a quote in the article, and this came off a website that I pulled it off of, streeteasy.com, and the quote says, "This is a property for the discerning owner, or as we like to say, somebody loaded with cash." So,
discerning owner.
Discerning, i.e. loaded with cash. So yeah, I got to think that market is a little bit specific, Tom.
Yeah, it really is.
I think you're right.
But if you need financing on that, give me a call.
Yeah. you're willing to look into that. Uh-huh. We'll take a look at your debt to income ratio. And see how it stacks up.
We'll start melting down what's left of Fort Knox.
There we go. Absolutely. Well, one of the things, Tom and I, we were talking earlier this week, and by the way, we had a little bit of that white stuff earlier this week and got a little crazy with some school delays. And, you know, that's some of the things that we've talked about in the last month or 2 months about real estate and what's going on. However, it was interesting because when we came in earlier in the week, when we came in on Tuesday morning, and we'd had that snow the night before. We had three or four showings that afternoon before noon, plus we were looking at three or four different offers on different properties. And that's one of the things we really talked about, is there are still some very serious buyers. And when you're getting showings and people looking, and we had multiple offers on one of the properties, when you're getting that amidst the inclement weather, those are serious buyers. And it's also an indication of we're still in a market where the inventory's been dropping. We're back below 900 again. Some of that is seasonally adjusted, but still, those numbers, as we've talked about most of the year, are shocking inventory levels for this area. So, still, even with the white stuff out there and a little bit of ice and freezing rain stuff, still a market that is moving along very, very well. So, Tom and I, we wanted to, for people that survived and made it through the Black Friday craziness, we thought this week we would do a show, and we were kicking around ideas and stuff, and keeping with that theme, we thought we should do shopping for your lender and your agent, because there's some choices out there. There are absolutely, I mean, there's over 500 real estate agents in the Tri-Cities, and so people, when they decide to have someone help them look for a house, hire someone to sell their house, there are some things that they want to consider. And so I kind of put together a list of questions to be asking when you're interviewing people. And one of the first questions that we always go over and that we talk about people is the agent that you're looking to hire, do they have a support system? Meaning, are they on a high-powered team that gives them support that they need to make it through the transaction? And one of the reasons we encourage people to ask that question and talk to people about that, because so many times we run into transactions where we have another agent's clients call us and say, hey, my agent's out of town or on vacation this week, especially this time of year. And so we really needed to go back and see that house. And I know you're not really our agent, but could you take care of that for us? And those calls, a lot of times we are just like, oh my gosh, well, who's covering for them at their office? You should probably, you know, give them a call and talk to them, because they want to make sure you're well taken care of. A lot of times people are like, well, I don't really know who's covering. They didn't really have anybody. And those people are on vacation too. So one of the things that we're very, very fortunate to be able to provide, and in our team environment, is that we have licensed agents. We have licensed admin staff. We're staffing that office and keeping it available and open so that when our agents go out of town, we have the rest of the team that is picking that up. So another licensed agent that is involved in your transaction. And we're not talking about just another agent in the office. We're talking about either a closing coordinator or a listing coordinator. We're talking about another licensed agent that is completely invested in your transaction. And I got to tell you that they take care of it way differently than somebody that's just covering for somebody else. So our first question is, what is our backup options when you're not available? Is it somebody that knows the system, the processes? And that's absolutely what we strive. We always strive to have double, triple coverage in our setup so that you're covered.
Lance, you know, that's important, because people don't realize that when they're buying a house, that transaction is moving forward no matter what. But people get sick, or people have, you know, vacations planned 6 months before that transaction ever became of anything. So it's important to look at that support staff and who's there to help out if one of the agents is gone.
Yeah, that's absolutely. And we like it to be a seamless process so that when those things happen, the client's transaction is not delayed. They're getting the same level of service that they had. And I printed off a quote that I love. I'm a huge fan of the history of Henry Ford and what he developed. And on teamwork, he said, coming together is a beginning, keeping together is progress, and then working together is success. So it's a constantly an avenue of our business that we're trying to make better, make more efficient, so that we provide a superior customer service. That's always what we're trying to go for. And you can imagine, just exactly like you said, whether it's vacation or sickness or you're having a baby, for instance, or those things are happening, you've got to have support staff to take care of that. So that's one of the biggest things that we talk about. The next biggest thing that we tell people to ask about, especially if they're looking on the sales side of things, to ask if you're interviewing to hire somebody to sell your house, is to ask a couple key questions about that process. Number one is, for those clients, what is your list price to sold price ratio? Because one of the things we talk about a lot of times is when people are interviewing, the first question they always want to run to and ask is, how much commission are you charging? What is your percentage? And so I always like to follow up with people and say, okay, well, let's talk a little bit about that. What type of service level are you expecting? What type of amenities do you want to get? And more than likely, is one of your biggest concerns really just net to you, bottom line? How much money are you looking to leave with? And when we go through that situation, a lot of times they are like, yes, absolutely, that's important to us. So I always go back to clients and say, okay, when we talk about pricing and somebody gives you a price that they're going to sell the house for, what does it actually end up selling for compared to that list price? So if you're looking at an agent that has a 95% list price to sale price ratio, they list the house for $100,000, then over the course of 40 transactions, they only get 95 versus an agent that has a 98.5% ratio, meaning that instead of 95, they're going to get 98,500. So they're going to end up netting you $3,500 more. You kind of need to do a cost benefit analysis that says, for that gain of $3,500 that I'm going to get, if I have to spend, you know, $1,200 more in commissions, maybe that's worthwhile. So list price to sold price ratio is a big, big deal. The other statistic when you're interviewing and looking for an agent to hire is, what are the days on market? What goals are you trying to accomplish? And then what are the days on the market for that agent sales over the past year? Because a lot of times that means extra utilities, extra mortgage payment, especially if the house is going to be vacant, you're relocating for a job transfer, then those expenses are going to add up. If you're looking at somebody that has a 35 or 45 day extended close, days on market, then that's one more mortgage payment, one more month of utilities. That could add up to be an extremely large amount of money also.
You know, Lance, take away the monetary side of it. I think about like the anxiety and the stress of just having a house and wondering when it's going to sell and all that worrying you spend thinking about it. Just getting it sold, that's so important.
So we're definitely a big fan of using these predictive statistics to help you in your analysis when you're looking to hire an agent. So we'd love to. I know all of those numbers. I mean, those are important key indicators, performance indicators for our team. So we know those numbers very, very well. We'd be glad to discuss any of those numbers with you. Now, Tom, I know on the lending side, we have a little bit different criteria. So a little teaser here before we go to the break. What is going to be the number one question that you think people should be considering when they're looking to hire a lender?
Well, everyone wants to know about interest rates, but there's also costs. And so what I really want to talk about is that relationship between cost and rate and why it's not always most beneficial to the client to take the lowest rate.
Fantastic. When we come back from our first break here, we're going to talk to Tom about some of those lending questions.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been doing our post-Black Friday, how to shop for a real estate agent and a lender when you're looking around to make that choice, because we know we take it very seriously that that's a big choice. Many times, one of the biggest financial investments that you'll make in your lifetime. So there's definitely some things to consider when you're looking at those options. And Tom, before the break, we kind of gave a little teaser, but you were mentioning something something that on the lending side of shopping for a lender you were going to talk about that involved cost versus interest rate.
Yeah, you know, Lance, you're absolutely right. I want to get to that. But what I want to go through is just that a lot of people think that all lenders are the same. And I'm just going to get the same deal no matter where I go. And I get that call a lot where people will say, well, so-and-so told me I should talk to you, or my mom did, or my real estate agent, or my friend. But what can you do for me that another lender can't? And if it's one thing that I've found, it's that no two lenders are created equal. Every lender will have different rules, or they'll have different rates, or different costs, or different programs, or just different levels of efficiency and service. So I want to go over several different things that you could be asking your loan officer or your lender when you're shopping around, because it's not surprising to me when I get a client who's talked to somebody just this last week, it happened, and they got quoted one rate, and they came over to us, and they got 0.25% less and lower fees. So it's really, really important to shop around and make sure that you're taking this time now, because what you do in this legwork and the extra 5-10 minutes you spend making a couple extra phone calls, it might save you money on every single mortgage payment for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal.
Bigger than on Black Friday, I was trying to decide. I'm not going to say. I was doing a little research for a Christmas present for my kids, and there was about 9 different models, and I'm trying to figure this out. And that, you know, it took me 30 minutes just on that, and that's a one-time purchase.
Yeah, so you should at least give me 30 minutes of your time.
Okay.
What Lance is saying.
Perfect. All right. Give it to us, Tom.
Okay, so first thing that you'd want to ask, of course, is the interest rate. Everybody wants to know about the rate. And the lower the rate, the lower the amount of interest you'll pay on your monthly payments, and even just a change of 0.125% interest rate is going to have a huge impact on the interest over the life of the loan. So always try and get the lowest rate possible. Now, second thing I want to talk about is worry less about the APR. Now, I know this, everyone's probably saying, what? You know, they've been conditioned to always ask APR. But for me, APR is kind of irrelevant. I've been doing this for a long time, and I cannot look at an APR and tell you what someone's interest rate or closing costs are. Now, another reason APR makes it really difficult is APR is a combination of the rate, closing costs, the loan term, any mortgage insurance has, and it spits out this number. Well, let's say a lender is giving you a lender credit, and maybe you have an interest rate and no closing costs, but the APR still is factoring in those closing costs. So it's making it look like you have high costs, because if APR is supposed to be disclosing the cost of a loan, then really, if you have a no-cost loan, your APR should be the same. But that's not the case. The formula doesn't work that way. So I never look at APR. I always want to say, look at the interest rate, look at the closing costs, look at the mortgage insurance, what's my cash to close, what are the actual numbers that we can see. So I still don't know why we have to do APR, but it's a law, and I just think that there's easier things to look at to really give you tangible idea of, you know, what you're getting. Now, this part somewhat contradicts the first part, but don't just look at the interest rate when you're not putting 20% down. Now, there's different ways of paying mortgage insurance. Let's say you're looking at one lender and they're quoting you, just for an example, a rate of 4%, but you're going to pay $200 a month in mortgage insurance. And you talk to another lender who's quoting you 4.25% with no mortgage insurance. If you automatically went with the lowest rate possible, you probably did yourself a disservice. So those are the type of break-even points and analysis that we go through when you come in and sit down with me. But you don't always want to take the lowest rates you can get. Which leads me also in to the next part. And this is a little teaser we dropped before the break, was on any given day, someone has a lot of different options of interest rates they can select. Now, the lower you go in interest rate, the higher your costs are going to be. And consequently, the more you raise your interest rate, you'll start getting credits back and it'll reduce your costs. As you raise the rate and your, as you lower the rate and your closing costs goes up, your payment's going to go down monthly, but you have to try to find that break even. So let's say you're paying an extra $2,000 for a specific rate, and the benefit of that rate is saving you $20 a month. Well, how many months need to go by saving that $20 before you get your $2,000 back? 100 months, right? So let's say you planned on only having the house for 5 years. You're never going to get to that break-even point of 100 months. So in that scenario, it didn't make sense to buy that rate down and spend that extra $2,000. So every situation's different. And like I said, it doesn't always make sense to take the lowest rate you can get. I usually try to price loans out at par. Par is just zero. You're not paying anything extra for that rate. You're not getting any credits back. And it's generally kind of the best of both worlds. You're getting low costs and not the lowest rate you can get, but it's you're not also paying as much fees as you would have with a lower rate. So a lot of lenders, if you just call them and say, hey, I want a quote, what's your interest rate today? And if someone calls me and asks that, I'll say, okay, well, I'll tell you an interest rate, but what do you want your closing costs to be? You know, another thing you could also ask the loan officer is to ask, tell you about the programs that they didn't quote you. Ask them why this is the best option. Some people will ask, hey, what about FHA? I have a lot of friends or family that did an FHA loan. How come you didn't quote me this program? And then you can actually see all the differences between the programs. I hate to say it, but sometimes I feel like when I'm seeing people shop around and they bring their quotes from other lenders, and I always wonder to myself, well, you know, how come they are putting you into this program? Is because there are some better options out there. And I don't want to say that some lenders just take the easy route, but it is possible that that could happen. So ask the question and say, you know, what are the other options that are out there that we didn't go over? And I love it when someone asks me that question because it shows me that they've done their homework and they're educated when they come in and meet with us. So next question that you could ask is who to call. You know, so obviously I want to put my name in that bucket and call your local credit union, maybe the banks that you already have relationships with. But I'd love the opportunity to get you a quote. We sit down, go through all your different options, give you a good idea of what your rates are, your closing costs. And I can even provide a link to some reviews that I have online, and you can get an idea of what my past clients are saying about the service we've given them.
Tom, that's perfect, and that's really great advice. I mean, we get a lot of people that come to us, and they have quotes from banks that they bank at, and so they were in there. It seems like a natural fit, and sometimes it quite possibly is, but there's other times when we look at those quotes and rates, and we say, geez, you know, maybe you should run over and talk to Tom about this, because I think he has some programs that that credit union or that bank did not have available in their portfolio that could end up saving you a lot of money. So there's a lot of times when we send people over to your office and they end up finding a much better option.
Well, it just happened this last week, and I certainly appreciate that. And what people have to realize too is that some of the local credit unions and banks, they really like, say, doing auto loans or credit cards or RVs, but they don't have a real appetite for mortgages. And when you see maybe the higher rates for their mortgages, it gives you an indication that they don't want to do a ton of loans. Otherwise, they would price their loans out a little bit more competitively.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for that, Tom. Well, there are a few more questions on the real estate side that we didn't get to go over before the break. Another question to be asking the agent that you're working with is, what side of the coin do you specialize in? Do you specialize in listing property and helping sellers, or do you specialize in working with buyers? The way we have things set up, we think that those are two extremely different skill sets. And that's one of the distinguishing differences between maybe another agent you hire and then hiring the Kenmore team. Is we feel that somebody that has a lot of experience with particular pricing in a neighborhood, in negotiating from the seller's point of view on that side, having a listing specialist like that can really, really benefit you. On the same side of the token, having a buyer specialist that is great with searches, that is constantly looking for the brand new inventory that comes on the market, that is just dedicated to helping you find the right house and is not concerned about those other administrative duties and the selling side of things, can be more focused and dedicated on helping you find the right house. So another question to be asking in that situation is, are you specialized in one side of the coin, or do you operate with many different hats, which could potentially be a problem? So that's another big, big question to be asking there. And then the last point that we had really written down here that we think can be a big issue is, once we have that contract together and we're negotiated, how do you handle the inspection process? How are you working with your home inspectors? If repairs need to be made, how are we following up on those repairs, making sure that they were done, and negotiating through that process? Because even more so than in the past, I think nowadays, with as advanced as the home inspections are, along with expectations that buyers are having in a market, handling those expectations and getting through a home inspection is a much larger stumbling block than it used to be even 3 years ago. There's a lot of different technologies that are out there now, the new infrared cameras, the moisture detectors. There's a lot more roadblocks that we used to not have in that process. So having somebody experienced with that process and helping you work through that is very, very important. As always, like I talked about, with lower inventory out there, the new listings are extremely, extremely important, and we have some fantastic new listings. Three absolutely awesome homes. Number one, just listed, 9203 Ryland Drive in Pasco. This is West Pasco, three bedroom, two bath, plus a bonus room, Rambler, all on one level, 1,726 square feet, huge living room, laminate wood flooring, big kitchen, and then you've got the split bedroom design, master on one side of the house, other two bedrooms on the other for maximum privacy. And that is coming in, and that is priced at $194,900. So for all of that in West Pasco with the bonus room, with RV parking, fantastic property. Pick number two, 4810 Kalahari Drive in Pasco. This is your 1,144 square feet, another three bedroom, two bath Rambler in West Pasco. We've already had a couple calls on that and just listed 2 days ago, and that is coming in at $162,000. So to get into that market for around the 160 range, absolutely fantastic property. Pick number three, upper end executive style home, and this is 8906 West Fifth Avenue in Kennewick, and this is a big house. Don Pratt built, five bedroom, four bath Rambler with a basement. It's in Hanson Park, just about 4,000 square feet, and this house is really decked out. Granite counters, tile backsplash, gas cooktop, double ovens. I mean, it was done very, very right. Daylight basement. Has a huge family room, lots of built-ins for game tables, custom built-ins, extra cabinetry. And this place is coming in for 4,000 square feet, Hanson Park, at $439,900. And this was a relocation. Like I said, on the air the last couple months, we're going to have relocation opportunities. This is a house that's one of those opportunities. Because of the relocation package that these people were offered, this last house that we talked about in Hanson Park, 4,000 square feet, $439,900, because of their buyout and the job transfer, and I told you last month they're coming, they're able to offer this house for less than it was bought 2 years ago. Ooh. And it's in better condition now, but they're moving. The relocation company is not in the business of owning homes. They're in the business of relocating that employee and then washing their hands of it. So fantastic opportunity if you've been looking in that price point. You can go to KenmoreTeam.com. You can get a hold of us. We are working. It was the Thanksgiving weekend, but we're out there working. Those are our post-Black Friday specials, Tom. That's not my pick three this week. My extended, because everybody's extended Black Friday. Those are my extended Black Friday picks.
I like it. Those are three good ones.
So hit us up at KenmoreTeam.com. And Tom, best way to get a hold of you on the money side?
783-7300.
And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.